those of the host and the participants.
All right, greetings. Welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live today from Campbell Hall in Urbana, Illinois, on WILL AM 580. And today our guest, as I said at the top of the show, is Arianna Huffington. Arianna Huffington is a nationally syndicated columnist and author of 10 books, including the bestseller Pigs at the Trough. She's a co-host of the NPR radio program Left, Center, and Right. Originally from Greece, Arianna Huffington moved to England when she was 16 and graduated from Cambridge University with an MA in economics. In 2003, she ran for governor as an independent in California's recall election, and most recently, she's authored the new book, Fanatics and Fools, The Game Plan for Winning Back America, just come out to much acclaim, and I've had the privilege of reading it over the past few days. I'd like to welcome to our airways Arianna Huffington. Are you there, Arianna?
Yes, I apologize. I'm 2 minutes away from a hard line, but I'm caught in this demonstration in New York City, in the middle of Fifth Avenue.
Wow, this is really...
Can you hear me?
I would say it qualifies as one of the worst connections we've had. You could pretend to be like Edward R. Murrow in London in 1943. We can barely hear you, Arianna. Can you hear us? Okay, I think what we're going to do right now is we're going to close this line down. I'm going to advise the producer to do so. Just wait until we can get Arianna back to her hotel. Arianna is going to her hotel right now, and she's going to join us on a hard line in a few minutes. She's in New York, I discovered, and is going to talk to us from her hotel. And I gather from what we understand, there's a demonstration. And I don't know. Maybe Victor Picard, our producer, you know what the demonstration is? What the topic of it is? No, he doesn't know. So we'll try to find out more about this demonstration that's keeping Arianna Huffington from getting to her hotel room in Manhattan so she can join us on the air. We will have her on a hard line, we hope, within 5 or 10 minutes. In the meantime, we do have open lines if you want to call in and talk and have some comments in general about media or just questions you have. You can give us a call here at 333-9455, and our toll-free number is 1-800-222-9455, and we'll take phone calls if people want to just have a conversation. And let me say in the meantime what we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks on Media Matters. We'll have David Brock and Tom Frank for the next couple of weeks. David Brock, I think, is probably familiar to a lot of you. He is the journalist who, during the 1990s, had been one of the leading sort of conservative journalists and pundits, and had done some of the work criticizing Anita Hill, for example. And then by the end of the 1990s, he had turned away from conservatism and become a liberal and become quite critical of what he thought were the corrupt and dishonest reporting methods he himself had engaged in when he was a conservative. And Brock has formed a new group, which is called Media Matters, not taken after this show, I don't think. In fact, we've got our lawyers on this one. Maybe get a cut out of him for this. And this group is to perform the service of critiquing media for bias and factual errors, basically on the premise that the news media has traditionally or recently been increasingly prone to being presenting the Republican or the Bush administration view of the world. In addition, we have Tom Frank coming up. Tom Frank is author of a brand new book, What's the Matter with Kansas? I know we've had Tom on the show before when he had his last book out, One Market Under God. In my view, Tom's one of the great writers in the United States today. Reading him is just absolutely sheer pleasure, and he'll be a delightful guest to have on the show. A couple other, it seems like everyone who writes a new book, we get them on the air here. I know it seems that way. A couple of other new authors we're going to have on the program in the next few weeks will include David Barsamian, who has a collection of his interviews being released very soon, and John Stauber, who, along with Sheldon Rampton, has written a series of books. John Stauber and Sheldon Rampton have both been guests on the show a couple of times, and they have a new book out called Banana Republicans, and John Stauber will be joining us too. So we've got a pretty nice lineup coming to you for the next few weeks. And right now, if you'd like to call in and just open lines until Arianna Huffington can wade her way through this demonstration, the number here is 333-9455, our toll-free number 1-800-222-9455. And we do have someone patiently waiting on the line already, so let's go to the phone lines. Urbana Line 1, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, I wanted to ask Arianna why she did not join in coalition in the California gubernatorial race with my old comrade from the 60s, Peter Cameo. That's the simple question.
Okay.
And, I mean, I could go on about that, but that's basically it. And I hope you get a better connection for her.
I sure do. Yeah, if we don't, I think it's going to be a monologue today, or she'll have to channel her thoughts through me or instant messenger them to us, because that connection we had wasn't a good advertisement for her cell phone company.
I don't think so. Well, I'll get back to you if you get her here.
Yeah, you know, but I will tell you this, caller, I've actually talked to, I followed that race a little bit, and maybe I'm confused. I thought she and Cameo had actually more or less worked in tandem together and had been colleagues, had not been in an adversarial relationship.
Well, it wasn't adversarial, but it wasn't fully cemented either. And I'm a little bit confused on exactly what the products were in that mix.
Okay, well, when she gets on the air, I'll ask her about that. I'll be glad to.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, bye.
All right, bye-bye. We've been notified that Arianna Huffington, our guest today, is almost at her hotel room. I'm sure she's going as fast as she can, wading through the demonstration in Manhattan today. My name is Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters. In the meantime, until we do get Arianna on the phone, let me just give you another tantalizing quote that came from people about her new book, which I've had the privilege of reading. This one from Bill Maher, Arianna, the host of HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, who was also the host of Politically Incorrect before that show was canceled on ABC a couple of years back following 9/11. And Bill Maher writes about Arianna's new book, quote, "As usual, Arianna leaves me in shock and awe. Keeping it real, doing it with flair and humor and depth, you'll come away a whole lot smarter." Then Al Franken, a recent guest on this program, says about the new book, "This book belongs in every bookshelf in America, right next to mine." That was Al Franken's comment. So we'll be joined in a second by Arianna Huffington. But in the meantime, we're going to go to line four, it looks like, to take a call from Chicago. Line four, Chicago, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to ask, or ask you to ask, Arianna Huffington, after the election of Governor Schwarzenegger, the lawsuit that Gray Davis and his attorney general had against Enron and the others who purportedly concocted the energy crisis from which so many companies profited was dropped. And there were a lot of conspiracy theorists that said that's one reason why companies met with Schwarzenegger and encouraged him to run in the first place to get that out of the way. That is almost exactly the amount of the deficit that California is running and cannot find money to pay for public education and other public services. Funny thing about that. Whatever happened to the opponents of Schwarzenegger and their public spirit in not continuing the call for that lawsuit to continue?
Okay, I will ask her about that. And you should know, caller, that this the second section of the four-section book, Fanatics and Fools, Huffington's new book, deals entirely with Arnold Schwarzenegger and is a quite critical look at him, much more critical than one might get from the news media today, mm-hmm. covering him. And as you probably also know, energy independence and corrupt politics are two of the central themes in all of her work. So I'm sure this is something she's got something to talk about.
Indeed. And whatever happened to the Methanex suit against California under NAFTA?
I should have you hosting the show today. You've got all these good questions.
No. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I think we're getting very close to the time. Poor Arianna Huffington, by the time we get her, she's probably going to need an oxygen inhale or something. Cause we've got her, it sounds like. Are you there, Arianna?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Well, I'm delighted that we have you. You're being greeted with questions already. Callers couldn't wait for you to get...
Well, perfect. I'm so glad I'm on a hard line because there was this huge pro-Israel demonstration throughout Fifth Avenue, and I couldn't get to my hotel, but here I am.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. I've already introduced you. I think the Central Illinois knows that you are with us, and the number here at Media Matters, again, is 333-9455. Our toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Our guest today, Arianna Huffington, with us now from her hotel in New York, the author of the brand new book, Fanatics and Fools, The Game Plan for Winning Back America. Arianna, I've had the privilege of reading a number of the quotes from the back cover while we've been waiting for you to wade through that crowd. And I had a chance to read the book over the weekend, and it's been a pleasure to read. It's a delightful read, witty and passionate, but also filled with all sorts of, you know, really powerful evidence, I think, to back up your argument. And I'd like you, if you'd a second, you know, why did you decide to write this book? Because you wrote this, if I can judge properly, after the gubernatorial race last year when you ran for governor, and it's now it's in print, what, 7-8 months later. So it's clearly,
right.
You really, really dove into this. What was your motivation? Why did you want to write this book?
Well, I had a contract to write a book called Fanatics and Fools before I started running for governor, which was obviously an expose of the fanatics in the Bush administration and the fools in the Democratic Party who allowed them to prevail on Iraq, on the multi-trillion dollar tax cuts, who became enablers. But what I learned by being a candidate for 7 short weeks is that it's not enough to have a critique, however justified and brilliant and witty, of your opponents. That the public is also longing for a big positive vision for our future and for America. And that became the second part of the book, The Game Plan for Winning Back America. So it was really my experience as a candidate that that helped me understand something, which is something now that I've been saying as I go around the country, that John Kerry needs, obviously, the powerful critique of the Bush administration, but he also needs a positive vision to offer the public.
And one of the things we'll be talking about on the show, but we might as well jump to right now, is you have launched a petition drive along these lines to John Kerry to get him to, as you put it, think big. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. We launched a petition together with Joe Trippi, the former campaign manager of the Dean campaign, actually calling on John Kerry to, as we say, go big and ask more, meaning offer a bold vision to the American people and ask more of us. Within really days, we had over 260,000 signatures. Move On also sent the petition out. And it just shows how big is that longing.
You know, the book has four parts, and I've already described it to our listeners before you were able to join us. The first part, you know, is, I think, you know, one of the strongest critiques of what you call the fanatics, which is the Bush administration. But I think in a way, though, what's interesting about your critique of the Bush administration and what you view as their hypocrisy is also an extraordinary amount of admiration, to use no other word, at their sort of propaganda.
Yes, and as I say, I think that propaganda works in a vacuum. Their propaganda, for example, their propaganda that convinced 66% of the American people that Saddam was behind September 11th, in the absence of any evidence, it only worked because the opposition was so mealy-mouthed. You see, I don't believe that propaganda works in the absence. Are you there?
No, I'm here. I don't know what's going on, but we are here with you still.
In the absence of... We seem to have a lot of tech problems. I don't think we can blame the Bush administration.
I don't think so. It sounds like someone's got it hooked up to their heart or something. If they do, they probably should get into an aerobics program.
Let me just see.
You know what I think we might want to do?
Let me just see if I can change phones. If that's...
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. This is the joy of live radio for our listeners to Media Matters Today. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters.
Is that better?
Well, let's give it a shot and see how it goes.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm going to put this phone down and see if this is
okay.
Better. 1 second.
Yeah. Sounded like we had a... Yeah, it is much better. It sounded like we had a geriatric snare drummer in the background there or something. There, I think we're going to do a lot better now. I hope we didn't lose you. Oh, my God. Are you there, Arianna? Well, this is the best of live radio. We're turning this into a suspense show. I think what we're going to do is we're going to hang up on Arianna now and call back and shoot for a clear line. I apologize to our listeners of Media Matters for this. this is what happens when you do a show like this, in which you have guests from around the country, people like Arianna Huffington traveling around giving talks. You don't. It's not always an easy thing to get a good line and a good connection and for a live show, but the joy of this is, I mean, the reason why it's valuable is we have an opportunity to hear voices like hers on the air, here live to the listeners of East Central Illinois, all the way up to Chicago, into Western Indiana, chance, and on the internet really all over the world, an opportunity we wouldn't have otherwise. So we're very fortunate that she's willing to take time from her schedule to join us here on Media Matters. If you do want to call in and ask a question to Arianna Huffington or make a comment, the number 333-9455, the toll-free number here is 1-800-222-9455. And my name, of course, is Bob McChesney. Now, one thing that a lot of listeners have asked about is our weekly email. And what we do here at Media Matters is we send out a weekly email with notification of who the upcoming guests will be and information about previous guests. And these emails have links to them, to books, to websites, to articles about the guest or that they've written. So you can have easy way to find out about the people who appear in our show and have appeared in the show and will appear in the show. If you're interested in getting this, just send an email to the producer of Media Matters, Victor Picard. And the number for the email address for Victor Picard is vpicard, V-P-I-C-K-A-R-D, at uiuc.edu. We'll put you on our weekly email list that hundreds, at least hundreds now are enjoying. And we promise you it will not be given to anyone else. You will not get any spam. None of your body parts will get emails suggesting they can be improved through whatever the product being advertised. And you can get off it easily enough with just one click. Our engineering team is still working on getting...
back.
Oh, you're back. Wonderful, Arianna. I think we've got a better connection now.
Yes. I'm sorry about all those technical problems, and thank you for persevering.
Well, it's good to hear your voice again. As you were saying, you were talking about... as I recall, when we left off, we were discussing...
discussing why the fanatics have prevailed and
why
their propaganda was so successful. And I was saying that in the absence of a coherent, bold opposition, historically we know that bad people can prevail. And that's really why, as well as having the critique of the fanatics, I criticize the fools. I have this quote, for example, from Tom Daschle on Tim Russert's show, when he was asked, "Well, if you don't like the president's tax cuts, why don't you offer your own bold alternative?" And his reply was, "Well, we have to take it one step at a time." And my response is, "Why? Is this an AA meeting or a political party? You know, we don't have to take it one step at a time." And I think that's a big lesson for November.
Arianna, what's the weather like right now in New York City?
It's warm and humid.
Well, right here, apparently, we have a tornado that might be coming through town. So we've got to break for just a few seconds and go to an advisory now. So 1 second, we're going to take a break here.
The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Vermilion County in east central Illinois until 2 p.m. this afternoon. At 1:19 p.m., National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm over Indianola, or about 17 miles south of Danville, moving northeast at 40 miles per hour. The severe thunderstorm will be near Tilton and Danville. This storm is capable of producing winds in excess of 60 miles per hour, damaging hail, frequent lightning, and very heavy rain. Take shelter in a sturdy building and stay away from windows. Report severe weather or any storm damage to your local ESDA or the nearest law enforcement agency for relay to the National Weather Service. And stay tuned for later statements. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for Vermilion County until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Also, a tornado watch is in effect for Coles, Douglas, Edgar, and Moultrie counties until 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Thank you. I'm Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters Today on WILL AM 580. Our guest coming to us live from her hotel in New York City is Arianna Huffington. We're talking about her new book, Fanatics and Fools, The Game Plan for Winning Back America. The telephone number, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, is 333-9455 and the toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Now, Arianna, as you pointed out, there's really two sides of the coin here. You've got the fanatics, the Bush administration, but then the fools make it possible. Your book is equally a critique of the Democrats.
Right. And then
And nevertheless, I calmed down solidly on the side of the Democratic nominee. And I explained that to all my friends, my independent friends, my Ralph Nader friends, by saying that the only way to defeat George Bush and send him back to Crawford, Texas, in this election is to support John Kerry and work to influence John Kerry's message. But there is no alternative way to defeat George Bush. I wish there was, and I certainly want to work to make it possible to have third-party viable candidates and independents running in our elections and opening up the system. But right now, I say in the introduction to the book that I'm endorsing the Democratic nominee because when your house is on fire, it's not the time to talk about remodeling. This is the time to first put the fire out, which means sending Bush back to Crawford, and then let's get to work on the urgent task of political remodeling.
You know, one of the things that makes your argument most interesting, or your critique of Bush, is the path you yourself have traveled, which you discussed at the beginning of the book. 10 years, 12 years ago, you yourself were a Republican, and a noted Republican for that, a commonly seen commentator and columnist in newspapers. And so your criticism of Bush takes on a different tone because you yourself have moved politically away from the Republican Party. How would you compare the present Bush administration to, say, the Reagan administration or the first Bush administration?
Oh, I think the present Bush administration is really a group of fanatics. You could not use that term to describe his father's administration. I think, and let me just say that I use this term very rigorously. I don't use it as a term of abuse. I use it as a term that describes and explains what is happening. And as an example, let me give you two of the symptoms of fanatics. One of them is the belief that they have a direct line to God Almighty, and therefore what they're doing is not their will, but it's really God's will. And if you believe that, it is incredibly dangerous, because no matter how harrowing and tragic the consequences of your actions, and God knows, could they have been more tragic than what we're seeing in Iraq, nevertheless, you insist on quote-unquote staying the course, because you believe that what you're doing is really God's bidding. And that's what makes them so dangerous. The other symptom of fanatics is their willingness to completely overlook any evidence. As far as the Bush fanatics are concerned, it doesn't matter what the facts are, what the truth is. They've made up their minds, and they don't want anything to interfere with their with what they believe.
We're talking to Arianna Huffington today in Media Matters, and the number here is 333-9455, toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Arianna Huffington is the author of the new book, Fanatics and Fools, The Game Plan for Winning Back America, just recently published by Miramax Books, and I urge you all to pick up a copy if you're interested in politics, and I suspect you are if you're listening to Media Matters today. Let's talk about the Bush administration and what they're going through the last few months. It seems like, from my perspective, seeing what's taking place in Iraq, as you've already talked about, this is an administration where facing some extraordinarily serious problems for its credibility.
Oh, absolutely. Extremely serious problems. And we see that reflected in the president's approval ratings, which are dropping to levels approaching his father's approval ratings before he lost the election, and that's the good news. At the same time, it's important for John Kerry to clearly and unambiguously define himself and his vision to the American people. So when they go to the polls in November, we have enough people who at the moment are planning perhaps not to vote or vote for Ralph Nader or in some form or another sit this election out, believing that John Kerry represents hope for the future. And that's why our petition is basically urging him to let George Bush own the politics of fear, own September 11 that he so manipulated, and let John Kerry own September 12 and the politics of hope, because there was something amazing that happened in this country on September 12th when we all came together to really help each other. And there was that sense of community and that sense of wanting to be called to a larger collective purpose that was completely squandered by the Bush administration. I mean, this president basically simply called on the nation to go shopping and go to Disney World and did not address or tap into that longing to be part of some larger purpose. And John Kerry has the opportunity, he has the biography, he has the experience going back to 1971 and his fearless call on the leadership of his country to get out of the unjust war in Vietnam to actually be this kind of transformational leader. But it will take the people urging him to do that, the people making it clear that that's what the times demand. And that's why I urge your listeners to go to fanaticsandfools.org, my website, and check out the petition and sign it and send it to their friends. And maybe you can link to it also from
yeah,
your side.
We absolutely will. But, I mean, it seems like the reason you're doing this petition is that you have a concern that the Kerry campaign really isn't taking advantage of the opportunity, that they're being a little sluggish here, and you want to urge them on. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I believe that political campaigns, especially at the presidential level, usually follow the kind of swing voter strategy that consultants know how to do, which means you kind of slice and dice your message and try to appeal to the 3 or 4% of swingable voters. And I'm saying, and Joe Trippi is saying, and that over 260,000 people who've signed the petition are saying, that there is another strategy, which is really to appeal to the over 50% of people who did not vote in 2000 and are not planning to vote in 2004. And they don't vote not because they don't care, but mostly because they don't believe politics matters, that politics really makes a difference in their lives. So if we can pull them back into the political system or pull them into a political system for the first time in many cases, that will transform our politics in a way that we haven't seen for a very long time. In fact, I say that we haven't seen since 1968 and Bobby Kennedy, who created this very powerful coalition of blue-collar workers and intellectuals and farmers, and there was that sense of possibility about our future that we since lost in the middle of triangulating politics.
And you think that, John Kerry, when he gave his acceptance speech in Seattle, Washington, during the Democratic primary run, and by then it pretty much locked it up. I heard the talk, and it was a fairly populist talk. It was anti-war. It was talking about Benedict Arnold corporations who were taking jobs overseas and criticizing trade deals. But it seemed like once he got the nomination, he shelved that talk. He put it back in the drawer. And it really, I haven't heard that sort of talk from him since then, have you?
Well, he's given parts of the talk. In fact, in my latest column, which your listeners can get by going to fanaticsandfools.org. It's a column in which I write about Bobby Kennedy and his influence on John Kerry and how he can fulfill that legacy. But I also quote some of his recent speeches, the speech he gave on the anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education, a commencement speech he gave the week before. And there are definitely elements of this vision there that you referred to in terms of his primary speeches. Well, all I'm talking about is connecting the dots. It's very important to connect the dots so that the message is really clear and connects with the public that's longing to hear it.
You're listening to Media Matters. I'm Bob McChesney, your host. Our guest today, Arianna Huffington, the author of the new book, Fanatics and Fools, The Game Plan for Winning Back America. And Arianna Huffington is a prominent journalist and columnist. And you write in the book how a year ago, in 2003, the Oregonian, the main daily newspaper in Portland, stopped carrying your column because they said you were too politically active. Is that right? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Did you hear my question?
No. Can you tell me again?
I would be glad to. You write in the book, Fanatics and Fools, how the Oregonian newspaper in Portland in 2003 decided not to continue carrying your column. This is because they thought you were too politically active. This is long before you announced you were running for governor, but just in the basis of your activity around fuel efficiency and other issues.
Right.
How did you respond to that when they told you that you were too politically active to be considered a columnist for their newspaper?
Well, actually, their line was that I had crossed the line between journalism and activism. And I thought it was kind of an amazing statement because my greatest heroes in journalism, people like Upton Sinclair and Ida Tarbell, you know, are muckraking journalists who are also activists. And I am certainly not going to give up my activism in order to have my column carried by the Oregonian, because I believe that the times we're living in demand more of us. At least for me, it's not enough to just write my column and then wash my hands and wring my hands, rather, and just say, well, do whatever. And it's not enough to give speeches. I mean, I really have now, since 2000, tried to do more than that. You know, in 2000, I helped organize the shadow conventions to spotlight the issues that neither political party was addressing, especially issues like the growing social inequalities, the corrupting influence of money in politics, the failed war on drugs. And now I'm doing everything I can as I travel around the country to urge people to vote for Kerry and to do whatever we can to influence the Kerry campaign message. Also, this week we're going to be launching another ad. We, in this case, being the Detroit Project, which is another group that I co-founded last year to address the issue of the need for energy independence.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be putting out on Thursday another ad that connects the dots between the high gas prices and the failure of leadership on behalf of the Bush administration when it comes to promoting an energy policy.
And in the book, Fanatics and Fools, at the end of the book, you sort of lay out a core platform for a visionary model to present to voters that you think that Kerry or any Democrat should offer to balance or to counter what the Bush administration offers. And number one on your list, in fact, is energy independence.
Bob, I'm just so grateful to you for having read the book. It's not often that interviewers have read the book, and you're absolutely right. In this Contract for a Better America, which is a 10-point plan, I talk about the need for energy independence as a number one priority. Not that necessarily is the most important thing, but it is a way to create new jobs, millions of new jobs, and be ahead of other competing countries when it comes to renewable energy and protect our environment. So it's really a key issue. And now with the rising gas prices, it's becoming even more important. In California, where I live, the increased cost for the average motorist is almost $1,000, which totally wipes out any benefits of the much-touted Bush tax cut.
That's for sure. We're talking today to Arianna Huffington, author of Fanatics and Fools, here on Media Matters. Please call us in if you have a question at 333-9455, our toll-free number 1-800-222-9455. We do have callers. I'll get to you in a second. But first, we want to go to our Weather Central for an update on the weather conditions.
The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Vermilion County in east central Illinois until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Also, a tornado watch is in effect for Coles, Douglas, Edgar, and Moultrie counties until 4 p.m.
Let's go to the phone lines right now. Line 1, Urbana, you're on the air with Arianna Huffington.
Hi, Arianna. I heard you on the debate over in California on the governor's race.
Uh-huh.
I just want to ask one question. I'll go ahead and listen and after I hang up and after I ask you. Just wondering, a big part of the Bush administration's actions or policies has been their attitude toward the United Nations, calling it irrelevant or whatever. I just wondered if you have any feelings on yourself on what the role of the United Nations should be in the world, and specifically what the relationship should be between the U.S. and the United Nations. And then maybe thirdly, what role do you think the corporate U.S. media has been playing in kind of forming the public's attitudes or opinions or views toward the UN? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Well, you know, we see something really amazing happening at the moment with the Bush administration. You know, after they downplayed the UN, after they told us we didn't need the UN, after they snubbed the UN in the preparation to invade Iraq, now they're actually having to admit that they need the UN in order to give some kind of legitimacy to this transition of power that's supposed to happen on June 30th. So it just shows that the UN is incredibly necessary international institution, and we cannot really imagine a transition of power that does not include it, because it would be seen as purely a puppet government of the United States. And already there's a great urgent need to stop having a kind of an American face on the attempts to bring about democracy in Iraq.
Ariana, we had a couple callers who called in before, while you were wading through the demonstration, who had questions about your run for governor last year and about Schwarzenegger. And I pointed out to them, and I'll repeat, that the second section of Fanatics and Fools is a discussion of Arnold Schwarzenegger and his what he represents politically. But the question specifically regarded two things I'd like you to have a chance to answer. First was your relationship with Peter Camejo and his Green Party candidacy for governor. And secondly, a caller called in and said that Gray Davis had a lawsuit against Enron and the big energy companies that benefited by the deregulation crisis in California a few years ago. And that lawsuit was dropped by Schwarzenegger upon taking office, and that cost the state a huge amount of money. It was a great benefit to the energy companies. And he wanted you to comment on whether that was true or not in your analysis of it.
Okay, well, first of all, I really very much enjoyed getting to know Peter Camejo during the campaign. I have tremendous respect for him. He and I disagree right now as to what is the best course of action for independents and progressives. As I said, I feel very strongly that we need to support John Kerry and work to influence his message, but nevertheless absolutely support him as the only way to defeat George Bush. In fact, as you know, Bob, the cover of my book is a chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the political game is played in America at the moment, there is only one chess piece that can remove the George Bush chess piece off the board, and that's John Kerry. And I just feel that this is such an urgent need right now that's why I'm determined to do mm-hmm. everything I can so John Kerry is victorious. And indeed, I believe that if he follows a big visionary message, he will be not just victorious in a toss-up, but could win in a landslide.
Do you really think you could do it that quickly, before you get on to the Enron question? I mean, I read your book, and the thing that struck me was, do you think we can compress all that politics and organizing that historically would take years into a few months?
You mean in terms of
Of mobilizing the people who aren't planning to vote currently, who are really tuned out to any hope of this political system addressing their needs, the 50% of Americans who are almost directly related to your income levels, whether you vote, who basically don't follow the news, don't really have given up on the system. Could Kerry actually mobilize a significant percentage of those to get off their duffs and take him seriously and go register and then vote for him in such a short period of time?
Well, first of all, as you said, this is a long-term project. I don't think we're going to get 50% additional voters. Mm-hmm. But can we get 10%? Absolutely. I believe that there is a surge that happens when there is a big vision. We saw that in the Bobby Kennedy campaign. We saw suddenly states that were not Democratic, like Kansas, being in play, and the enthusiasm and the passion that were unleashed were phenomenal. So, yes, I believe it can happen. And as I say, it's not an alternative to having a vigorous attack on the administration. It's just an additional but incredibly important, inspiring message. I mean, I cannot tell you, as I'm crisscrossing the country, speaking to older people, to younger people, to people who've given up on voting, to people who vote every time, how deep is that longing for an inspiring message.
Does it seem to you, though, Arianna, that from what I read, when I read about Kerry's inner circle of advisors, it seems like he's getting the opposite message or a very different message, which is to sort of hold your cards close to your chest, don't say anything that could antagonize these so-called swing voters. You know, the last thing you want to do is sort of go out on a limb of the bold vision that gets you chopped up by the news media. Are you battling a big wave there that's going pulling him in a different direction?
Well, you see, I think that there always is multiple voices in a campaign. But that's why it's so important. This is not what I'm saying or Joe Tripi is saying, but what tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, you know, as we are building the list of people who are calling on him to offer such a vision, are saying. And it's really the power of the people. It's not the power of one individual. But we saw that in the Dean campaign. We mm-hmm. saw how the movement that was unleashed ended up, is that you or me?
Well, we're fine, I think. We're doing fine.
Ended up actually transforming the candidacy. You know, if you talk to people in Vermont, they will tell you that Howard Dean is not the candidate. Howard Dean as the candidate was not exactly Howard Dean as the governor of Vermont, but he became much progressive and his message was much more powerful.
Seems like we've got that geriatric drummer in the background again, Arianna.
Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can.
Okay, are you on a speakerphone by chance?
No, not
okay, I didn't think
so.
Hold on. Okay, we're going to try again. Again, my name is Bob McChesney.
Is that better?
I think that's better, much better. This is Media Matters. We're talking today with Arianna Huffington, the author of the new book, Fanatics and Fools, discussing her campaign, along with Joe Tripi, to send a petition to John Kerry to urge him to take a big picture and provide a broad, bold, moral vision as an alternative to the Bush vision to really attract people to politics. And you can find a copy of the petition and read it and sign it if you wish at the website fanaticsandfools.org. Is that the right website, Arianna?
Absolutely.
And I'd urge you to go there. Now, the second part of the question
About Enron.
It was about state of California's lawsuit against Enron and the other energy companies, apparently, that benefited by the deregulation fiasco a few years ago. And was that suit then abolished or canceled when Schwarzenegger took office? How did that work?
No, I think what happened, the caller had in mind was the fact that during the crisis, the energy crisis in California, Schwarzenegger actually was one of a handful of prominent Republicans who met with Ken Lay of Enron. And when I raised that point during my campaign, Schwarzenegger was asked about it by a reporter, and he replied that he could not recall whether he met with Ken Lay. And this has been a pattern with Schwarzenegger of supposedly not being able to recall embarrassing moments.
God, I wish I had that sort of memory. My life would be a lot nicer.
Well, you know, what is amazing is that the media are letting him get away with it. You know, it's one thing for him to say he cannot recall, but the media basically then drops the subject. Oh, you can't recall, fine, let's move on to something else.
Well, go ahead, please.
So I think that there's no question that Schwarzenegger, who campaigned as a populist, because that's one of the problems right now. Anybody can campaign as a populist. Is governing very much as someone beholden to all the special interests funding his campaign and now funding his initiatives, because there has been not an ounce of populist policy coming out of Sacramento since he's been governor, whether it's energy policy. He's actually signed an executive order to support hydrogen, but this is just another cosmetic exercise, the same thing that George Bush did in Washington, you know, when he, in his State of the Union, he introduced the new plan for a hydrogen economy. And I think it's very important for environmentalists not to be taken in by such cosmetic measures when we know that we have the hybrid technology available right now, so anybody serious about improving fuel efficiency and reducing our energy dependence would just go for hybrid.
You know, along those lines, as I was reading Fanatics and Fools, what was striking was how throughout the book, especially in the first section, you would use quotes from President Bush that called on idealism, that invoked the greatness of public service, and really were these high and mighty statements that one would expect from FDR or Lincoln or something. And then you contrasted them with the actual record, and as you, I think, call it the Grand Canyon, separating the words from the reality. But it's worth noting that the words are clearly, he understands rhetorically the importance of these values to the American people, or he wouldn't be saying them.
Exactly. And the reason I did that is also to give some courage to a lot of people on our side who think that if you mention the moral imperative of addressing poverty or any of these major social issues, that you're going to be accused of being left-wing. And I said, well, here is the President of the United States using that rhetoric, not because he believes it, but because he recognizes the huge impact that it has on people, because these are not left-wing or right-wing values. These are American values. They're really at the heart of the American dream. And this vision for a country that is about fairness and justice and a level playing field is really what our whole journey has been about, with a lot of interruptions and regressions, as we've seen in the last 3 years. But this has been the journey of the country.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. Line 4, Chicago, you're on the air with Arianna Huffington.
Yeah, hi. Something that's been bothering me for years now, and that is the situation, as I view it politically in the United States. The Republican administration, and in fact the Republican Party in general, has been out to destroy the First Amendment, free speech, separation of state and all that, separation of church and state, the Fourth, Fifth Amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. They oppose the Freedom of Information Act. They favor the wealthy against everyone else in the country to the detriment of the interests of most of the people of the United States. They favor a militaristic government. And this, to me, symbolizes everything that was obvious about the fascists in Germany and in Italy. And why doesn't anyone state this, who's politically active and supposedly effective?
Well, thank you, caller. Arianna?
Well, a lot of people are pointing out the dangers that this administration is posing when it comes to the First Amendment, to civil liberties, to the separation of church and state. These things are pointed out. I think one of the problems we're facing is how to get through the static. There's an enormous amount of static in our universe, and how do you break through is really the question. I often have this conversation with friends of mine in mainstream journalism, and they will always say, well, but we pointed that out, we said that. And the question is not whether something has been reported, it's how relentlessly has it been reported. Mm-hmm. How much effort has been put into staying on top of an issue instead of just raising it and abandoning it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're talking to Arianna Huffington. We've only got a few minutes left, Arianna, and a couple questions I'd like to ask you about. the Nader factor, because clearly if this is a close election, every vote may well count, as it did or almost did in 2000. And a lot of energy now in the Kerry camp is going to trying to undercut the Nader support, or people who might be attracted to voting for Nader or some other third-party candidate out of their dissatisfaction with Kerry, specifically on the war, but not exclusively. And a lot of the attention is going, and just in the New York Times this morning, there was an article about leading Democrats getting together to set up a campaign to really let anyone thinking of voting for Nader know that that would help elect Bush, that that's the reason they shouldn't vote for Nader. Do you think that's going to be very successful, that approach?
You know, I think that a lot of people who are tempted to vote for Nader are not going to be dissuaded simply by the obvious fact that a vote for Nader makes George Bush's re-election more likely. I think they need to be convinced that all the things that they care about are not just going to be enhanced by Kerry, because Kerry is obviously better than Bush on every issue that they care about, but also because, as Kerry told Ralph Nader when they met, and I think that is perhaps the most significant comment, "Do not judge me by your by my predecessors," by which he meant that he is going to take bolder steps when it comes to issues central to the Nader candidacy, like corporate accountability, because it could be said that through the 90s, we basically didn't do that. The Clinton administration became enablers themselves. You know, the Financial Modernization Act, for example, that was passed, made it possible to have a lot of the corruption that hurt millions of Americans. So the most positive thing that Kerry can do is make it clear that he meant it when he talked about the Benedict Arnolds of corporate America, and that he's going to take action come January.
We only have a few seconds left, Arianna. The vice presidential choice that John Kerry will be making, is there anyone that jumps out in your mind as someone who'd really sort of be the right person to send the message that this is going to be a bold vision campaign?
Yes, I would definitely go for John Edwards. I believe that he has the vision the country needs, the eloquence, and he talks about the two Americas and talked about it relentlessly and hardly gave a speech without mentioning poverty. That's the kind of candidate that I think would enhance the Kerry message.
Well, I hear the band tuning up in the background, Arianna, which means I've got to clear out of the studio. I want to thank Arianna Huffington, the author of the new book, Fanatics and Fools, The Game Plan for Winning Back America, for graciously taking time from her Sunday to join us today in Media Matters. Thank you very much, Arianna.
Thank you very much, Bob.
And I'd like to thank you all for listening. My name is Bob McChesney. I'm your host of Media Matters. We'll be back in the next couple of weeks. We'll be here with some great shows, including Tom Frank and others. So please stay tuned. And I want to thank Victor Picard, our excellent producer. See you next week.
WILL-AM broadcasts from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, made possible by a generous gift from Alice and Robert Campbell. A tornado watch is in effect for Coles, Douglas, Edgar, and Moultrie counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area until 4 o'clock this afternoon. This afternoon in Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms early in the afternoon, then partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms late. The high in the lower 80s with southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, breezy with the low in the lower 60s and southwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour in the evening, shifting to the west 10 to 15 miles per hour after midnight. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the University of Illinois. It's 2 p.m. Central Time. A Prairie Home Companion is next.